This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, January the 27th, 2025. It's another beautiful day, of course, to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. We appreciate you getting your day started right here. I got a little question for you. Does it feel like we've done 500 of these visits together already? Because in what could only be characterized as the dumbest host move ever, I number every show. So I just want to know how we're coming along here. I was really looking forward to reaching a milestone number, especially since so many of them have done by our friend Greg Bach down there at Radio Park in Racine. And yet Friday, upon reaching the milestone, did at any point I mention it was our 500th morning show? No, mm-hmm. I did not, because that's the kind of week it was last week. Of all the other stuff going on, a little morning show milestone was kind of the least of my worries. But
Pat, I will say, I was talking to Dan Schaefer on Friday after Matt and Aaron air, and he goes, first week of the Trump administration. And I thought to myself, I'm like, wait, it's only been a week? And so I can understand why that number may have just not been part of your orbit. There's so much going on. There's so much to talk about that, like,
So I thought, well, look at even a little party pad here, a little head on a toothpick here from my birthday. I thought we'd have a nice little, you know, celebration. There's my moment of celebration, my head on a stick with a birthday hat on.
Now that we're done with the celebration, let's get to the review period. We're going to go through each and every show so far.
Sounds good. All right, folks, stand by. Let's show number one.
Show number one, not enough Greg. All right.
Yeah, we rectified that.
No, but congratulations on 500 shows.
500 morning shows. Here's to five. And the thing is, I used to have this rule of thumb when people would say, you know, how can I get on TV? How can I be a reporter? How can I, whatever. And I'd use the sports analogy saying, well, you're never going to be good at anything till you do it 500 times, whether it's 500 free throws or 500, you know, whatever. I clearly have more work to do, but, you know, the first 500 were a lot of fun.
I mean, you found your rhythm, you found your format,
you found your swerve.
Yeah, there you go. Quit not allowing yourself to be complimented and looking back on, like, you accomplished something. Take the W.
Yes, I will. So there. Here's another W. These temperatures. It was about 20 below on Friday morning. It's about 20 above now in a lot of places. Let's look at these temps around the state. 20 here in Chippewa Falls. It's 21 in Hayward. It's a real tight band of temperatures statewide. Amory's 19, Wausau's 20, La Crosse is 20. It's 20 in Rapids, 23 in Green Bay, 19 in Madison, because, you know, they have to be different there, 18 in Waukesha, and 20 degrees at Radio Park in Racine. And you can join us along the way here by phone or by text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Of course, you can use the Civic Media app to call us, or the Civic Media app to text us, or you can put a comment on social media, like Tony does frequently through the Up North News YouTube channel, where he says, I heard it was 10,000 shows. No, Tony, it only feels that way, though we, honest to God, could not do what we do here without Tony and everybody else who makes the show work the way that it does, including putting some of those clips up on social media so people see about the show. And so, yeah, we are very happy. Tony adds now 10,000 hours, though. So I guess you've hit 1,000 hours more with prep and being a guest on other shows, plus election coverage. So basically you're there. Yeah, it does feel that way sometimes. But enough. Let's get to today's show, show number 501. We will have another visit from author Laura Bird, who's become a regular here in the most delightful way. Because we can't be, and no radio show should be, all news, all politics, all Trump, any of that all the time. Got to take a break now and then. And we bring on Christina Laurie for some of that. Sherita Booker talks about some of the other stories that we publish. But Laura Bird has been great coming on to talk, not just about the whatever book she's working on, but she loves to recommend other books. And she's picked a theme today of winter. So books that in some way, shape, or form center on the winter season. You've heard of The Beach Read. Well, this would be the, you know, the winter version of that, to feel like you're part of the season. So we're looking forward to having Laura around for that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us in a few minutes, as she does on Monday mornings, just to go over, you know, the state of the world these days. Let's see, we've got Selena Heller, who will join us as well. And we'll hear from somebody that she talked to with Wisconsin conservation voters about President Trump pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accords. And that while that is definitely not a great move, not a good move, but there's still a lot that we all can do at the individual level, the household level, the neighborhood, the local and the state levels, to be kinder to our climate. And why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you, like, you know, not pollute, you know, things like that? So we'll hear from Selena Heller about that. And then Jane Matinere wrap things up with a preview of what Matinere on Air, along with Greg Bach, is going to look like for the coming week. In the meantime, you can always keep up with everything else that we follow on Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. And you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, and I'll tell you about what's in today's issue in just a moment. We also, yesterday, brought back, for the first time in a long time, a political newsletter. And we're going to start that on the weekends. It's going to be a weekly Sunday morning thing where we kind of get you reset for the week ahead, talking about the things that happened in the past week so that you're ready to go for the new week. Needless to say, the inaugural edition of the political newsletter, see what I did there, talked about the inauguration of President Trump, and also the State of the State address by Governor Tony Evers, and some of the early headlines out of both Washington, D.C. and Madison. So if you are a daily newsletter subscriber, you should be getting the political newsletter too. And for those of you who, that's just a little bit too much for you, there is a way to unsubscribe as well, so that you're only getting, some people only like the daily newsletter with features. Trust me, I saw the emails yesterday from, you know, a handful of people going, I don't want politics in my, okay. That's all right. We still have the daily one for you. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com for more. In today's edition of the daily newsletter, there is a guy who refers to himself on social media as Hey Man, the Sandwich Man. And he's been reviewing sandwiches around Wisconsin. And there's an article on the origin of the beer chaser with a Bloody Mary. It is definitely a Wisconsin thing. Folks who have traveled beyond our borders know, you're kind of nodding your head right now about how you're out of state. Bloody Marys are universal, but you ask for a beer chaser or a snit, as Grandpa used to call it, and they look at you funny, like you're trying to get a free drink out of us. Like, well, no, that's tradition. What's with the tradition? Yeah, we talk about that in the newsletter as well. So again, upnorthnewswi.com is the place to go for that. Just about 6:15 now, so let's go over a couple of sports notes quick. The Super Bowl is set. Kansas City beat Buffalo, and Philadelphia beat Washington to set up an Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl again. That'll be in New Orleans on February 9th. For Kansas City, winners of the past two Super Bowls, it's their fifth Super Bowl in six seasons as they look for a three-peat this year. The Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Clippers in L.A. on Saturday to end a five-game winning streak. Their Western road trip continues tonight at Utah. Then they're in Portland tomorrow, and then they'll be home on Friday. The 18th-ranked Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team never trailed while routing Nebraska yesterday, 83-55. They will next play on Tuesday at Maryland, and you can hear that on some Civic Media radio stations. Badgers at Maryland coverage begins at 5 p.m. Wednesday on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and, of course, on the Civic Media app. The 10th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team will be in Indianapolis tomorrow to play Butler. The Badger women's hockey team, number one in the country, beat St. Cloud State on Saturday but tied on Sunday, then won the shootout. The Badger women will next play at Minnesota Duluth Friday and Saturday. And the Badger men's hockey team had its best weekend of the season, taking on the 10th-ranked Michigan Wolverines, beating Michigan on Friday, playing them to a tie on Saturday before Michigan won the shootout. It takes the Badger men to 11 wins, 12 losses, 3 ties. They will next be in the Twin Cities Friday and Saturday to take on the Minnesota Gophers. You can hear those games on our Wisconsin Rapid Station, 97.5 WFHR. That keeps you up to date with what's going on in sports. That's 6:16. I see, Greg, two things in terms of it's award season. One is Oscar nominations, which I am not ready to talk about yet, so we'll do that another time. I didn't do my homework. I do know the Grammy Awards are coming up next Sunday, and they announced some of the performers: Billie Eilish, Shakira, Chappell Roan, Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, Teddy Swims. More will be announced. Trevor Noah will be the MC for the fifth consecutive year. And the most Grammy nominations, Beyonce with 11 for her country album, Cowboy Carter. That now gives Beyonce 99 Grammy nominations in her career, far and away more than any other singer. And I sense she's going to pick up a little bit more hardware next weekend.
Yeah, but if she don't win Best Album or the one that she's been chasing for a decade plus, people are going to be so mad. Every time she doesn't win Best Album of the Year, she gets, and people just lose their mind. So we'll see.
Jay-Z's going to pull a Kanye and just rush the stage.
I think Jay-Z's got enough problems on his own. And also just the notion of like this year, that list you read off is just, I can't wait for the next day. People like, I didn't know who any of those people were.
Well, that, you know, I put those names in because I know those folks. I know of them. And by the way, let me also say, Saturday Night Live, Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Now, he was Willy Wonka, which is kind of a weird thing. The show had a lot of weird skits.
Yeah.
But he did a couple of Bob Dylan tunes because he's in the current Bob Dylan movie, which I still haven't seen. I meant to go see it at Christmas time. I still got to get there. But he did like Outlaw Blues in a way that was so good. He did two Bob Dylan songs in his opening skit. Or opening a set for singing.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
I really liked the second set better than the first one myself, but I thought it was a fantastic episode overall. Really good stuff. So
yeah, definitely worth watching. If you've got it on your DVR or whatever, go check it out. We'll update some of the news headlines coming up next on Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Not to make you feel old, but it was this week in 1985 that this song, Take Me With You, was released. It was the last single released from the Purple Rain soundtrack, and it was 40 years ago this week. Time is a flat circle. I have no other explanation for how can that possibly be 40 years ago. This is Up North News Radio. It is 6:22 right now, and before I get to the news, let's note that the Earl Ingram Show follows this one on many Civic Media radio stations or on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9 o'clock today, Dr. Ava Martinez-Powles is the former Vice President of DEI and Title IX Coordinator at MATC and is going to talk about President Trump's dismantling of DEI programs. Again, that's 9 o'clock on the Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, back to the aforementioned new president and the chaos that was the first week. And we'll talk a lot more about that with Kristen Lyerly coming up in just a bit. But just to get you caught up, Friday night was, I guess you could call it in a way, it was related to Nixon's Saturday night massacre, but it was a Friday night massacre of the inspectors general. The inspectors general at department agencies are your watchdogs. Every time you hear politicians, normally Republican politicians, talking about waste, fraud, and abuse, there would be so much more of that waste, fraud, and abuse if there weren't if every department didn't have an inspector general to make sure that things were running efficiently and to make sure that the people that we trust in those agencies are following the law. Trump tried to fire him last Friday night. It was 17 or 18 of them at last count. It may have had something to do with the fact that one inspector general took a whistleblower report from somebody about Trump's call to Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine trying to blackmail him and reported that. And in a normal world, not only would a Congress impeach the president, as it did when Democrats, you know, were in charge of the House of Representatives, but a normal Congress would have probably convicted a president for soliciting bribes, essentially, and blackmailing countries with U.S. military aid. That didn't happen, of course, because the most of the senators in that chamber could not bring it upon themselves to put country ahead of party and ambition. And that's how Trump got through a second impeachment and eventually got back into office. And now that he's back in office, he's fired the inspectors general, the people who not only look out for waste, fraud, and abuse, but make sure that a president could not become, say, a grifter and use your taxpayer resources for private enrichment through government agencies. That would be gone now. These are people who, for the moment, find themselves unable to do the jobs that, you know, helped veterans, connected people to federal government resources to get an education or improve their small business, promoted public health in Africa to prevent infectious diseases from flaring up there and then coming here. All the many roles that have been impacted already by Trump's hiring freezes, attempts at layoffs, and now trying to fire the watchdogs. To their credit, the watchdogs are pushing back, responding with a letter that says, it's our job to actually know the law. And the law says you have to provide 30 days notice to Congress. You have to state reasons why. You can't just fire us. We're not at-will employees of the president directly. So at least in this case, the inspectors general aren't leaving without a fight. That could go either way, frankly, given the makeup of the Supreme Court and Congress and everything else. But that's the latest on what Trump tried to do on Friday night. Also over the weekend, at the start of the weekend, the Senate tied at 50-50 on whether Pete Hegseth, Fox News talking head, alcoholic, and arguably other things, should be the Secretary of Defense. And so, of course, Vice President J.D. Vance cast the tie-breaking vote. And so I was wrong. I set the bar really low, again, for Republicans in the Senate, and they couldn't even clear that low bar. I really didn't think Pete Hegseth's nomination was going to be approved, because I don't want to be that cynical. I guess I should have been. President Trump took a victory lap over the weekend, speaking in Las Vegas. He said a lot of things. The only one I'm going to hit you with is just this one quote here that I saw on Twitter. Listen to what he says about what other countries are doing.
I heard about that. I said, everybody's going to empty out their prisons into our country. I said that. I'd do that if I were heading up any one of the many countries that you know about, not just South America, all over. They take their prisons, their mental institutions, and they empty them out into our country. Can you imagine a person doing this? Can you imagine somebody doing that to our country?
Yes. It was you. You emptied the prisons of the criminals who started a violent insurrection against our own country's seat of government in the United States Capitol. You literally emptied the prisons and courthouses and pardoned some 1,500 people who broke the law. And now they're back out onto the streets, basically ready to help out the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, whatever other militias. If things get ugly down the road, it will be in part because he did exactly the thing that he accuses every country of doing. Remember what I said. Every assertion is a confession. Every assertion is a confession with this guy. Vice President J.D. Vance did the Sunday morning talk shows. He defended the lack of inflation focus. There's been so many things done this first week. There's some things that weren't. Trump said he was going to end the war in Ukraine in his first 24 hours in office. He did not. He said he was going to look into inflation, but then said it's really not one of his highest priorities and it's really hard to do. J.D. Vance was still pushing the lie that increased oil and gas production would somehow bring down prices. We are already the world's largest producer of oil and natural gas. Now you're slapping on tariffs on oil-producing nations. That's going to drive prices up. Kristen Lierley helps us continue the conversation next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Told a witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
So here's the thing about dealing with doctors. Especially OBGYNs like Kristen Lierley or Sherry Kreitlow or the others. Babies are naughty. Babies have no respect for somebody else's work schedule or sleep schedule. And the lack of any knocking on the door from Dr. Lierley here virtually tells me that, once again, one of those naughty babies is probably up to something. So we may hear from Dr. Lierley in a bit. Mr. Bach.
Hello.
And by the way, she's very excited to know that I'm a couple of weeks away from another little time away from the radio. And she is genuinely excited about Bach and the Doc coming back. Was that her name or yours? Let's see. Oh, look, this page just in. Hopefully I'll be out in a minute or two, she said. Okay, well, we'll see. But yeah, Bach and the Doc. Was that her? She came up with that or you?
She came up with that. That was all her idea. I would never.
All right.
I would never see. She did it, so it is very quaint and cute and very on brand for Dr. Lierley. The moment I did it, I would feel like this seems really diminutive to her stature as a doctor and as a person.
There you go, taking top billing from this lovely woman.
Yes, yep, exactly. Yep. When clearly I am the buffoon.
No. She's very excited about that in a couple of weeks here. So she sent a flurry of questions over the weekend, kind of behind the scenes radio stuff. I know I've shared a little bit of it with you, which, again, we think is adorable when people are kind of new to this and learning how the business works. And kids, there's a reason sometimes we bring you behind the curtain because it's kind of fun and amusing. And there's other curtains we don't bring you behind because it's dark and scary, kids. There's just
don't
no other
do
way
it.
To put it.
Don't do it.
Don't look. But I got to see a lot of coworkers from Civic Media that I had not even met before over the weekend.
Nice.
At the Civic Media belated holiday party for Western Wisconsin. And what do you mean Western Wisconsin? Well, Civic Media has now grown to such a point where, you know, a couple of years back, you could get everybody into a room in Madison. You can't do that anymore.
No.
And so they've taken the new approach of breaking up the state by region so that not everybody has to leave all the radio stations and a few people get left behind. So they've done it in the different corners of the state. And so for us in Western Wisconsin, folks all gathered at a bowling alley in Eau Claire, Wagner's, and got to have some pizza and bowling and some prizes. And it was a lovely time. It was really great.
I think that's great. Yeah. I think that's wonderful. I think that's lovely. I'm hoping maybe for like the 5 year we can do a big everyone together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very difficult to get everyone in the room and everyone else. It's a lot of driving. It's a lot of driving.
Yes, it is. So we appreciate the folks that made it. I using the excuse of my back, but it really did kind of keep me from really bowling's just not really my thing anymore. I used to really love it. Now I'm much more gingerly about it. Meanwhile, Dr. Kreitlow bowled out of her mind over the weekend. I mean, don't get me wrong, she didn't get 300, but I mean, she was in the 120s, which is unheard of for her. And she was just the whole time like, how is this happening? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there's something in the pizza at Wagner's, or maybe something you were imbibing, along with the pizza. I don't know. Whatever it was, it worked. Good for you. And my favorite post, we were in lane two. In lane one, Chad Holmes later posted about it, and he pointed it out at the time that in his game, you look at the final scores there, and it looks like Chad Holmes let his producer and his boss, Sage Weil, beat him by one pin apiece. They both tied at 128 and he had 127 or something like that. And I'm like, that's a genius move there, Brown Noser. Really good. He did not throw the game, but he thought it sure does look good. So why wouldn't I post about it? And so he did. So that was a really nice time.
I was having a conversation with our headliner from this past weekend, Chris Fairbanks, who's a very, very, very funny person, but as funny as he is, he's even as a human, as a person offstage, even better. Like, just such a kind, nice guy. And we were talking about the fact that he is taking up bowling as one of his. He skateboards. He's like 50 years old. He skateboards. He golfs. He's taken up bowling in the past couple of years. And he was talking about Los Angeles and their, lack of places like for Caro's, where I grew up bowling from the ages of 5 to 18 in leagues. And it's a bar and it's a bowling alley. That's it. And he's talking about these places in Los Angeles like called Pins and Strike and Stripes and things like that. And it probably costs like $30 a game or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, man, you got to come to Wisconsin where like you're pretty sure that they've never cleaned their carpets and they still smell like Pall Malls. And they have a Pac-Man machine that still takes quarters. But if you ask the guy, he'll fix it up so you can play for free.
That would describe a few of the bowling joints in our area. Yeah. Dr. Lyerly joins us as well, Chief Morale Officer for Up North News Radio from Up North, where she's been working this weekend. How are you?
I'm good. I also think of all the little Pilsner glasses.
Yep.
Pilsner glasses. Yep.
But in Los Angeles, those little Pilsner glasses, those are $32 a tiny Pilsner glass.
I could totally see that. How's your weekend gone? Did you get any sleep?
Yeah, I got some sleep. It's a little chilly up here. We've got a ton of snow up here.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Now, you were part of the, when you were up there in Hibbing, saw the kind of like the early premiere of the Timothy Chalamet movie about Bob Dylan. And we were talking in the last segment about Timothy Chalamet hosting Saturday Night Live, sang a couple of the songs, did an outstanding job. I still haven't gotten around to seeing the movie. I really need to rectify that, but you were probably too busy to be, watching SNL or anything like that. But Timothy Chalamet is one of those, he's really starting to grow on me because he did such a cool job as Willy Wonka as well.
He's cute too, isn't he?
Okay, I'll go with that. Yes.
I like the fact
that adorbs.
He is a very dedicated actor. He loves acting, but I think for me personally, if I like an actor or a performer or something like that, is when they're on SNL, if you can tell 100% they are not taking themselves and their Timothy Chalamet-ness seriously,
No, he's not.
That is something I absolutely adore, because then you know, oh, you're fun. You're a fun person. Yes. You can poke fun at yourself. And I really enjoyed the episode this week.
I did watch it. He was really self-deprecating. He joked about how he's wearing a beard. He has a beard, and it's got 18 hairs.
18 hairs. He's 30 years old, and he's almost ready to grow a beard.
Did you hear the panic in his voice? He goes, "I'm going to be 30 next year." I'm like, "You're adorable." Yeah,
the songs that he chose to sing were not popular songs. They weren't songs that were in the movie.
They were deep cuts.
Songs that he really wanted to perform. So it felt like a really heartfelt episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I really like the second performance the best, when he was playing guitar. That for me was big.
But as I looked on social media, like, everybody was going crazy for the guy on the keyboards. Was it James Kelly? Am I getting the name right?
I guess. Yeah.
I looked it up, and all these people, oh my gosh, James Kelly. Look, I got nothing. I see that he's won a couple of Grammys, but none of the songs sounded familiar, and he didn't look familiar. So I have no idea.
I mean,
so I felt ridiculously clueless.
Well, he was also standing right next to Timothy Chalamet at the end of the show, and I was like,
yes.
Dang, you're tall. Wow.
You are
a redwood of a man.
And I guess he's made cool songs, because the youngins loved it. So,
and if Greg doesn't know who a musician is,
thank you. Well, I am, as we all know, I am the arbiter of cool.
you tend to know things. You're kind of a deep cut guy.
Yeah, no, you know things. We all know our different
nerd
things.
Nerd is the word you're looking for.
You know what? I know things like grammar. My coffee. I have the coffee mug today that says I am silently correcting your grammar.
Which has
I'm not going to be
at the end of it.
I know.
I thought it said I'm silently connecting with your grandma. I misread it.
Wow.
I'm be your new grandpa, son.
Where was I going on this? Oh, here's the thing about, you know, correcting people's grammar. At least I can spell Colombia the country, because when President Trump over the weekend announced that he was doing tariffs against Colombia because they weren't accepting military flights with people that they were deporting, he spelled Colombia wrong.
Well, it's on his jacket, so you just have to look down. Right?
And again, this is the little stuff, and people will be like, oh, he misspelled it on purpose to trigger the libs. No, I really don't think he did, and I think it's okay now and then to point out that we didn't elect a Rhodes Scholar here, or somebody with basic proficiency, or an understanding of economics, or anything like that. But he makes a lot of noise, and that's part of what we wanted to talk about today, signal versus noise, because one of the stories that was really played up that you noticed, Kristen, was the raids in Chicago by Immigration and Customs Enforcement with Dr. Phil. What's this? What Dr. Phil has like this little TV channel or whatever, and he was like reporting live from the scene. It just makes me look at Oprah, like a lot of people did this weekend, and say, why? Why did you unleash Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz on us? What did we do to deserve them?
Don't you remember, though, back in the day? I mean, this was a long time ago. Dr. Phil used to be legit. Like, he actually used to talk about doctor stuff, but then it wasn't spicy enough.
Right.
And now look at what he's doing. The fact that it's Dr. Phil who shows up in Chicago because he's going to cover what's happening with immigration. What?
Here's a thing also related to signal and noise. Is it gets an emotional response. There's video. There'll be crying children or spouses, and you know they're looking to intimidate others. But when you look at the numbers, odds are that the daily number of arrests won't really be that much higher, if at all, compared to President Biden's administration or Trump's first administration. The Obama administration actually deported more people than Trump did first time around. And that may be the case again here, where it's more about intimidation and trying to look tough than actually any concrete accomplishments, Kristen.
Hey, yeah, I think that's what Trump is great at, right? I mean, we know he's not a great president. We know he's not great at actually creating policy for the benefit of the American people and enacting it, because that's boring. What he's really good at is getting your attention, no matter how he does it, and sending Dr. Phil to cover these immigration raids that we know he doesn't have the people power. He doesn't have the dollars. He doesn't have the support to make this happen, but he can make it look like it's happening.
That's the whole point. Make it look like it. And it does get people talking. We are talking about it, but we are talking about it in a way that says there's just a lot of talk here. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of substance. Nothing that's going to, you know, bring down the price of eggs is the running joke. And if this thing with Colombia happens to heat up, there goes the price of your coffee. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, Colombia is saying that they'll work this out and accept U.S. flights and everything, but can you just imagine of all the places to start a trade war, he goes with the place supplying America's coffee? What do you think happens when coffee prices go through the roof?
Well, he's making friends with El Salvador. Can we get some coffee from El Salvador?
I guess. Yeah. That's how it works.
But he's not making friends anywhere. I mean, he is definitely flexing all over the world. And, you know, I saw a comment from Pete Hegseth talking about our allies. And all I could think was, who are our allies right now? Because everybody is looking at us thinking, well, the United States of America thinks that they're pretty special. We are going to show them that they're not.
Yeah. I mean, there's Vladimir. I mean, there's always that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tony writes on YouTube, the reality show president is all about optics. Really?
Right.
Yeah, makes sense. And one other quick note, the world's richest man and shadow vice president, Elon Musk, has waded into Wisconsin's Supreme Court race, posting on the dumpster fire formerly known as Twitter, quote, very important to vote Republican for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to prevent voting fraud. Mm-hmm. It's a nonpartisan election. There is no voting fraud. And you're going to try to buy this election the way you tried to buy the last one. Great.
Did you also notice that Donald Trump was talking about voter ID laws when he was in California doing his disaster relief tour?
Yeah,
I think that they're definitely watching our election, which makes it that much more important that we know what we're doing and we get out and vote.
Which is why there's going to be a lot of talk about that between now and April 1st, the election. And by the way, February 18th is the primary, including for state superintendent of public instruction. Much more about that next week with all three candidates joining us throughout the week on Up North News Radio. We'll tell you why we're playing the Chipmunks after this. This is Up North News Radio, back in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, today's history lesson is the Pat's annual story of the last time he had a big cry. The Dixie Chicks released this tune, Wide Open Spaces, off their major label debut album by the same name. The trio's first album with lead singer Natalie Maines, again released this week in 1998. Fast forward to 2012, where the older daughter has packed up the moving van and is leaving to move out west to some Wide Open Spaces. And I stopped sniffling like that. And the last thing that I see as the truck is disappearing over the horizon is, and this was a big deal back in 2012, a friend request on Facebook from my daughter.
Oh.
Who had ignored the friend requests all those years until the moving van is heading out west. Puddle. Instant puddle.
Meanwhile, the younger daughter's like, I'm measuring this room for my new room.
Right, I'm literally right here, Dad.
Yeah. There's two of us.
Selena Heller is here. So is Whiskers' butt. Hello, Whiskers. Welcome back.
Profile.
Oh, there we go.
It is the tush of Whiskers.
If I hear the word tush one more time after watching all that football yesterday.
Oh, the tush push. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, I get it. Yes.
Yeah, we get it. They're
what?
Pushing. It's like old school football. Now it's a regular thing is the quarterback takes it and it's quarterback sneak. But everybody, like the whole offensive line gets behind him and pushes his butt to push him ahead.
Okay. All right.
I know. All right, we got a lot of a history lesson today. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born this day in 1756.
He's all right.
Thomas Edison got the patent for his incandescent lamp this day in 1880. We were playing the Chipmunks before because Ross Bagdasarian, the singer-songwriter-producer who created the stage name David Seville, and then he was created Alvin the Chipmunks, was born this day in 1919, and it has led to just a generations of terrible impressions. and one good one. Hit it, Kristen.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, that's...
Of course you can do a Chipmunks impression.
Of course.
Marking that down. Can deliver babies. Ran for Congress.
Yep.
Spectacular bicyclist.
I'm great at parties. It's fun.
Happy 73rd birthday to G.E. Smith, former band leader for Saturday Night Live and lead guitarist for Hall & Oates. The number one song this week in 2001 was by Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Of course, it would be Independent Women. We were talking about Beyonce's 99 Grammy nominations already this morning. Anyway, the song here would be number one for 11 consecutive weeks, a record for an all-girl group. This was an exciting day in 2010. Apple announced the iPad. And I remember seeing that thing, and it was just a case of must have.
I remember when he announced it, I'm like, this looks dumb, and I hate the name. Yeah. It won't go anywhere.
Now it's everywhere. The number one song this week in 1973 was by Stevie Wonder. See, now this is a little bit more in my wheelhouse. Let's see. The Paris Peace Accords, not the climate ones. The peace accords that ended the Vietnam War were signed this day in 1973 as well. Let's see. At the height of the Iran hostage crisis on this day in 1980, U.S. and Canadian officials worked together to help six American diplomats secretly escape in a caper later portrayed in the 2012 movie Argo, for those of you who have seen that one. Let's see, in this day in 2018, a little more than a year after leaving Fifth Harmony, Camila Cabello goes to number one in America with a song about the city where she was born.
Fifth Harmony is a band?
I totally forgot about group, the name of that band.
I hate that name. I hate that name so much.
This song was everywhere.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There are a lot of Super Bowl anniversaries around this time of year, understandably. But one of the big ones would be that on this day in 1991, Whitney Houston and if it was the Miami Symphony Orchestra or the Florida Symphony Orchestra, did arguably the most stirring rendition of the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. I mean, I like how you noted there's a few different national anthems in the music library.
Yeah.
Why? Just play this one when you want to.
This one is Chris Stapleton. Start. That's it. Done.
She like walked off the bus, nailed it. Got back on the bus. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it was partly inspired by Marvin Gaye's 1983 version at the NBA All-Star Game. The musical director and arranger for Whitney Houston just reworked the entire harmonic structure of the Star-Spangled Banner. It's normally done in 4/4 time. He changed it to 3/4 time, changed up the percussion, added multiple chord changes, and resulted in a masterpiece, basically. Yeah. All right, let's talk about what's on the National Day calendar for today. It is Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day. So pop them if you got them. And this is...
Pop them if you got them.
And this is National Chocolate Cake Day, which I know that for some people, some restaurants and things will be having specials today on chocolate cake. Others are just hearing about this for the first time and probably should start a chocolate cake special. Greg, you can get on this too, but is anybody here known for making chocolate cake? Like from scratch, not from a box mix, anything like that?
No.
No.
Notice all the silence.
We always had a good chocolate frosting.
Oh, yeah.
I was really good at opening the chocolate frosting and taking the tinfoil thing off there and just put my finger right in there and be like, it's mine now.
I like to eat chocolate cake.
Yeah. I mean, that's see,
you make
that's,
it. I'll eat it.
It makes it a good day for all of us. Selena's going to talk about the U.S. pulling out of the climate Paris Climate Accords coming up, and author Laura Bird on the way as well. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.